Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
And welcome to Paranormal Chronicles on liveparanormal.com. And I have with me this evening the Black Cross Paranormal team with Riley and Stephen Black.
Hey,
hey, hey.
Chica.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Oh, we've had better days, but we are hanging.
We're doing fine right now.
We're the big dogs.
Now, Riley was showing me earlier that you guys were on a photo shoot this weekend, and somebody, I guess, what, vandalized the car, or what was going on up there?
Yeah, they did, they call it a smash and grab. It's basically a breaking and entering. But what it ended up turning out to be fraud as well, because not only did the person steal what was in the vehicle, but they attempted to use credit cards. So we've got, the Providence police on the investigation. We've got different detectives working it. We've got surveillance cameras that provide information regarding this person's whereabouts, the timestamp where the credit cards were used. And so I think it's only a matter of time before this perpetrator is apprehended.
You know, when the cops actually pulled up, when we called them, as soon as we realized what had happened, Steve called the credit card, or the police, and I called the credit card company. I looked at the officer and I said, "You better arrest me right now." And he said, "Why?" I said, "Because I'm going to kill that son of a bitch, so you better just take me in right now. Take me in now and avoid finding me later."
I think it's best that we didn't see it happen. Because if we did,
I would be in jail.
Like Riley was saying, well, not just her, but you know, I probably would have beat the guy to a pulp, and then we'd have, charges pressed against us.
I'd have hair and teeth, and I mean, I'd scalp that son of a bitch, Indian style.
I was just going to say, I think your native roots will be coming out on that one.
I've been saying you attacked us.
Riley, earlier, you know, a long time ago, I used to work in like a strip mall where there was a record store where I worked at, and we got held up at gunpoint. So,
oh wow!
I'd rather have the smash and grab than have a gun sticking in my face any day. But either way, you know, crime's a crime. But I tell you what, if I knew what I knew now back then, I would have did something different. You know.
You know, I grew up in a really small town where you just didn't lock your car doors. You didn't lock your door at night. You know what I'm saying? It was just something that I've always thought that would be kind of everywhere. And I was naive and I was trusting and Steve warned me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you're on a photo shoot, you know, you're changing in the car. So all your things that you're going to be wearing for the shoot is in the car. So, you know, that is your changing room, that is your dressing room if you're doing an outside shoot and there's not one provided for you. So I think we were targeted. I think he followed us through the Roger Williams Park because that's where the shoot was for the perfume at and just
uh-huh.
took advantage. You're 50 feet away from the car.
We had, there were actually four different shoots that we were supposed to do that day. And the first one was for a perfume ad or a cologne ad. And we were on one side of the park, and then we got changed, and we're wearing different, you know, suits, and she had a beautiful evening gown on, and then we were moved to over near the museum, which is on the back side of the park, and
uh-huh.
I think they saw us, you know, changing, and we had these, you know, it looked like we had these expensive outfits on.
We did have expensive outfits on.
I know, but people see that, and they're like, ooh, you know, money or whatever. And I think exactly what you said, the person saw us and followed us around, and we were getting our photos taken by these people. They came all the way from Pennsylvania, these photographers, to do these advertisements. And we finished the second piece of the photo shoot. We had two more to do that day, and when we came back to our car, that's when we, you know, everything was smashed and the stuff was gone, and so... Mm-hmm. Sure, they followed us around and saw what was happening.
Yeah, but I hope we get to that guy on the surveillance tapes because I'm going to beat his ass. There's no doubt in my mind on the horrors I'm going to inflict on that guy. There
you never
is
know
one.
When you may have somebody on the force that might look the other way.
No, I got nothing
but time on my hands. I'm saying that, but I understand.
I do. I got nothing but time on my hands, and I am an investigator. One way or the other, I will find this ass. I swear to God. I'm going to put it behind this board.
Yeah. But, you know, that leads us into talking about vandalism. You don't have to even be personally, I guess, stalked like that. You know, they didn't know who you were. They just saw you dressed up really nice and whatsoever, and a lot of this actually can come back into the paranormal field with all these different locations that we go to.
That is absolutely true. There is a big thing going on right now, which, you know, if I had my way, I would be, you know, flipping a bitch about it. But, you know, Stephen's like, no, the mature approach, don't give them any fuel to the fire. It's already enough fire as it is. What I'm talking about is the big Kane Hodder and... the Michael Al asshole.
Aloisi.
I can't pronounce his name. I just call him Michael
asshole. Aloisi.
Yeah, that's it. So anyway, what they did do was urinate all over Rolling Hills Asylum inside closets and, you know, all over the place. You know, we were just hearing all these different horror stories that's going on right now. And they actually admitted doing it in their book that just came out. Sharon, the lady who runs Rolling Hills Asylum, she actually was wondering where all the urine came from. It just mysteriously appeared. She paid really big money for, you know, all of it, you know, for them to come in and do this event, and then she had to pay even more money for a cleaning crew to come and clean it up. but she didn't know who would do it such a thing. Then she finds out that it wasn't a regular paranormal investigator, that it was a celebrity host that did it.
Uh-uh.
So that pretty much, you know, says it all for me. I have to keep my mouth shut or I'm going to get in trouble.
We missed other locations that we've been celebrity investigators on these different things. And the people that are hosting this, you know, they say, oh, well, as soon as you leave one of the buildings, they're like, well, we need to lock this up because, you know, someone will walk off with these artifacts. And that's just sad, you know, because these people are there to investigate, and they're investigating along with, you know, people that, you know, do this, like, full-time, or that's their only thing that they do, you know, and they steal things or they break things, and it's totally disrespectful. And
Sharon takes very good care of the Rolling Hills Asylum. She really does. I got to give it to her. She puts in everything she can into that place by trying to restore it and to make it look, you know, really, really nice. And, you know, she trusts these people to come in and help her raise money to take care of the place. And then they shit all over her. It's like, you know, what do you do then? You know, your whole trust issue is totally blown. You don't even want anybody to come in anymore because of that. You know, that's like a violation, right? You know? And
I know,
and later
some of
on,
our group. Yeah, go ahead.
What were you saying?
I was saying in some of our group chats recently, they've been bringing up the subject that some of these places are starting to charge exorbitant rates for groups to come in and do paranormal investigations, and I'm wondering if it's all because of that. You know, they've had break-ins, people coming in unannounced.
Insurance reasons, maybe.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
to insure some of these artifacts and things that are in these buildings.
That's true. That's true. You know, a lot of people think, okay, well, they charge like $150, $200 or whatever to do an event like this per person. And most of the time, a lot of that money goes to taking care of the place or to pay the celebrities to come in and do it. That's the terrible thing about it. Steve and I, we have never charged anyone to do an event, not ever. If somebody ever asks us to come in and do an event as a celebrity host, we go in guns a-blazing. We don't charge anything. We hand over every single piece of evidence that we find, and we post it on our website. You know, we're not out to make a buck off of anybody. And I think everybody who knows us knows that. And that's why, you know, we get along with a lot of people. A lot of people like that about us. You know, a lot of, like, later on tonight on Dead Air Paranormal at 9 o'clock, George Lopez and Mike Bowler, the Ghost Cowboy, are going to be talking with Michael Allo Asshole about what happened with Sharon at Rolling Hills. They're going
to
be talking to Sharon, but they're going to be calling Mike too.
Wow.
So that's going to be some serious drama going on there, man. That's like Godzilla and Mothra. You just don't want to get in the middle of that one.
That's definitely
crazy.
Yeah, it is.
You know, we had to do something to, you know, try and prove to, you know, non-believers or even capture evidence that we can just show, you know, because I don't know about you, but, you know, we've all had our own paranormal experience in one way or another that has brought us into this. And we, you know, we continue to chase that or even, you know, try to obtain more evidence. And then you got people doing things like this, you know, it's just sad.
You know, and when we think about it, I mean, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is you've got teenagers or maybe crazy college students that are trespassing on property that they shouldn't be on. You know, occasionally they get crazy or drunk or whatever, they're throwing rocks into windows and stuff like that. But you don't expect paranormal celebrities or even, not even paranormal celebrities, but celebrities to do those things. I mean, these are historical landmarks. Most of these places are historical landmarks, or if not, they're on their way to being, and you're sitting there destroying a piece of America. How can you do that?
It's just that I think it's because they think they're badasses because he played Jason in Friday the 13th, part 7, 8, 9, and 10. Whoop-de-doo. I did Slater Mills 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but you don't see me pissing on anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw you
But I was peeing on Bush, and I had to go real, real bad. So, I mean,
and
God
we were
forgive
camping.
Me. I got poison ivy on my doopy, so it's not like I didn't get away with it.
So what have you guys been up to since we last talked?
Oh, my God. Let's see. We've done Slater again.
Cool.
Yeah, I think we love that place because it not only is so close, it's like 3 miles away. It's like our background, or I mean our playground. So we're always
talking
there.
Oh, we did talk to her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You see.
Yeah, we did the British Beer Company in Walt Holmer.
We also did that asylum. Which,
oh,
which
yeah.
shall not be named.
They shall not be named asylum. That's what we're calling it because we didn't ask permission to actually, you know, go into the buildings.
Well, they won't give it to you.
Yeah. So we were just driving by and saw it and be like, oh, this is a cool place. Not. No, it was. It actually was. I mean, we got some pretty good EVPs during the daytime, which, you know, I'd love to post, but, you know, I got to say the PZ should not be named Asylum in Mass. So if anybody's from Mass, they'll know there's only two asylums. Guess which one? I'm bad like that. I am. I see a place and, you know, I'm not putting myself in any danger. I mean, I test the floors out before I walk on them. I make sure there's no police around.
No, the stuff was open. It wasn't like we, you know, just
pulled the board off and walked
in. We just walked around. Everything was wide open, so we didn't do anything wrong. We were just wandering.
Wandering. Yeah, I mean, people were going, taking a dog walking down there. I mean, it's not like people didn't see us.
There's a lot of peeing going on. What's going on with that?
It's in the water.
The peas in the water. That's not...
No, I mean, whatever's making the pee is in the water.
Oh. Yeah, it's called water.
You see how we get along on a normal basis? I mean, it's like this all the time.
That's super cool, though. So how's your son doing? Have you had him on any more investigations?
Let's see. Yeah, Ryan did the celebrity ghost hunt.
He did a celebrity ghost hunt. He also did. He did the asylum.
Yeah, he did. And I was
amazed.
Yeah, yeah. Which, you know, for a 13-year-old boy to do this, you know, he has to have. We feel that Ryan is well equipped enough to go into some locations, not all locations. You know, just the ones that we know that are safe.
Mm-hmm.
And by safety, I mean, you know, making sure the building's not going to fall down on him or, you know, he's going to get hurt in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, yeah.
You know, thank God, you know, nothing has happened where he's been any kind of physically attacked to the point of where he would be, there would be bodily injury, you know. I mean, he's been attacked before, but it just made him sick for a few minutes, and that's it, you know.
Yeah.
Like his equilibrium was thrown off. But that was all that happened.
Okay. How did you feel walking into an asylum like that? Did you explain to him, you know, what had actually happened in the past there as far as the history of the building? And
yeah, we talked to him about, you know, the history of the building. We talked to him about, you know, what's going on now. And, you know, we were looking at everything outside and the people, like Riley said, you know, there were people there walking their dogs and stuff like that. It wasn't like, you know, somewhere we weren't supposed to be. We were just walking. But, you know, we kind of stuck our heads in and peeked around and ran some EVP stuff and took some photos and things like that. And it wasn't a major investigation, but it was interesting stuff on the EVP as well.
Yeah, we were going to head to the second location, which was the other asylum in Mass, but ended up stopping off at
what was that, the bar? It was like a bar slash restaurant slash arcade.
Oh, Charlie Horse.
Yeah. And that's about as far as I got. Tequila was flowing. Steve was driving, so he had to stay sober, but, you know.
True, true.
I was in the arcade. I was just hanging back.
And when you went in, go ahead.
No, I said, and then we just went home. You know, nothing too exciting.
Oh, that's
here.
Cool. Now, when you went into this asylum where, I mean, it seems like anybody could just, like, walk in, was there any type of kind of artifacts from the asylum that were still there, or what was significant that you saw?
A lot of things.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there were a lot of things. There was artwork that seemed to be, like, in a recreation-type room.
That place spooked the hell out of me because of the spray paint. Somebody spray painted Welcome to Hell and, you know, Can You Hear Us type deal. Like, you know,
I'll live forever and stuff like that. Like, they're sayings, which, you know, obviously it was probably some teenage kids that analyzed the place.
But where it was just spooky.
Yeah, and the thing was is that there were a lot of things that were burned, and it was just... I don't know, it was just very strange because there was some excellent artwork done there by the inmates, which was crazy, you know, it was like to see that stuff. And it was, like I said, it was all like partially burned and stuff.
Yeah, there was a fire actually that was in the rec room that pretty much closed it down. Also, the deplorable conditions on how they treated the patients is... Another reason why, if they catch you there, you're screwed. If you get caught being there by mentioning it as a paranormal investigator, they'll nab you anyway. So the town just wants to forget about it and push it behind them because they turn half of it into...
you're going to give it away. Just say it.
Yeah, I can't say it.
Shall not be named.
Yeah, so they put half of it into something else. But I can't tell you what it was.
Okay.
I'm sorry,
no.
I can't. It's, you know, as soon as I say it, you know exactly where I'm talking about. But yeah, they had a mass grave of unmarked tombstones.
Well, they had the only markings numbers.
Yeah, there was like over 1,000 people buried in this one little area. And what they would do is they chain the patients up to a chain link fence after hosing them down at 9 o'clock at night. They'd chain them outside. If they lived through the night, they could come back in. If not, they died and they got thrown in a hole.
Uh-uh.
You could even hear EVPs orderlies telling the patients, you know, we will take your boyfriend and your baby away. You know, you'll never see them again. And, you know, you hear all this stuff, and it's just like, I think the asylum ones are a lot harder to deal with than the actual regular, you know, ghost hunting ones, like a haunted location, like, say, the Payne House we're going to go and be doing on May 26th with Rise Up Paranormal. That's in Coventry, Rhode Island.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
Yeah, that used to be a bed and breakfast and a stagecoach stop, and then it would turn into a tavern. So it's been a lot of different things, but there's been a lot of different activity spirits going on there, like children and women and you name it. It's been on my ghost story, but it'll appear ghost story at the end of May. That's when the premiere is, May 30th. So,
how do you actually get invited to some of these well-known locations?
Well, you make friends and, you know, you get to know these people that are in the paranormal field and they're just like everybody else. They're normal. They're very understandable to, like, how you just want to prove that there's evidence in there. And a lot of times after they get to know you, they'll invite you in. I mean, it's not like you just...
Well, all these people are just people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They just happen to either get a job doing... stuff for a syndicate television show, or they get, you know, in with a certain group, but they're still just people, and they're doing the same thing that we're doing. So,
exactly.
if you happen to meet them and you strike up a conversation and you end up talking to them after that, or you share evidence and you get to know them. And I mean, we've had people over to our house. We've done a lot of stuff with either GHI people or,
yeah.
Just you get to know people because your paths cross all the time.
Especially in New England, because New England is a small, like, little area, and it's like a club theater, you know, like, it's just, everybody knows everybody. And, you know, well, how we got out there, you know, into the public eye was when we went to our very first convention. And we didn't have a table. We didn't know anybody in the field. We just did it for ourselves. But then when we started to meet everybody, and they all started hearing our evidence and getting to know us, then it was like a landslide, and it was just, it took off from there so fast. I couldn't believe how fast it became public.
Well, and not just that, not just attending these conventions, but I mean, before we had no website, you know, we had no online, we had no online presence. We were just doing this stuff and not crossing or comparing notes with other teams or conversing with anybody. We were just doing it on our own. And, a year ago, year and a half ago, we started the website and started attending conventions and
just for meet and greets, say hi, and now it's like a big class reunion, like a family reunion every time one of these come around.
You walk in the door, and everyone's, you know, coming running up to you.
We can't even get 2 feet into the door.
Pictures.
And
I mean, it's great.
I love it. I love to see these people.
Yeah,
I haven't seen in a while.
So many great people. You know, I know earlier we started with, you know, some of the not-so-nice people and things that they've done, but there are so many wonderful people in this community that, you know, they really either go out of their way or, you know, they'll come to your house and you can hang out with them and have them, you know, we had a ton of people to Riley's birthday party, and that was fantastic, you know, having all these people, because they're all doing the same thing that we're doing.
And it's really good to hear, like, your perspective on this, because some people that are in the field don't necessarily care for all the, I guess, media acknowledgement from the paranormal celebrities. Once they get to a certain level, they're thinking, not necessarily that they're not normal, average human beings still out there, you know, doing their passion, which is ghost hunting and trying to find evidence of the afterlife. What's your perspective on that? I mean, it seems like you're finding out differently from what I've heard from other groups.
As far as being in the public eye?
Being in the public eye, how do you feel about the paranormal celebrities that are out there on the reality shows?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, I think some of them are very lucky to be where they are. You know, because they're doing this.
Dues.
Yeah,
they've
been doing this for years, and somebody recognized that they have something to offer, and they met the right people, and they put, you know, a lot of these people don't realize that, you know, the celebrities have actually paid their dues and worked a lot to get where they are. You know, there may be the one or two that may have, you know, slipped into it or rode somebody's coattails or whatever, but a lot of these people have really done their homework. They've been doing this for a while, and, you know, they got picked up or they did their own show and submitted it, you know what I mean? And the syndicate picked it up or you know, one of these, like the Travel Channel or whatever. You know, these people have worked very hard to get what they have. And,
exactly.
And I think most of them, I believe, deserve it.
Yep.
Well, now when you guys go on investigations, there is like kind of a fine line where some people actually want to help the spirits that are out there pass on, that are trapped here, but then some others don't have any interest in changing things around because it's kind of like it keeps people coming back to investigate the paranormal. What do you feel from a, you know, from a human point of view when you do go into these sites that are completely, ultimately haunted, and you know that there are ghosts there? Do you feel anything for the ghosts that are there? Do you feel that they're trapped? Is there any way that you can help them move on, or is it something that should just be left alone?
We might have two different views here, so I'm going to let Riley speak first.
My point of view on this is that I'm always a very helpful person towards anybody, and it makes me very open, and I trust, everybody. I'm too trusting, I think. And because of that, that's one of my downfalls, and people who know me always tell me that all the time. I want to help as much as I can. Do we actually really know if we cross these spirits over? No, we don't. Do we know that, you know, they're not where they are supposed to be? They stay because, for a certain reason. We just know that they're there. We honestly cannot prove that whatever mumbo-jumbo that some medium comes across saying or does some sort of, you know, spiritual thing where they move on to a better place. Do you really know they go to a better place, or do they just move to the other side of the room to get away from you? You really don't know. I don't want to say that they deserve to be there, to leave it alone, to, you know, it's none of your business, to go on and do what you do. If I could help somebody move on spirit-wise so they would let go of this world, damn right I would. You know, I would do it just because that's in my nature to do it, you know. Some people, on the other hand, would not get involved. They would rather just leave it alone so they keep coming back and collecting evidence. If I die someday and I get stuck here because of unfinished business, I hope that there's somebody out there that could help me, you know, go where I need to be with my loved ones instead of being stuck here on this world alone. Because after a while, time does move on, and it'll be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before you ever get to see your family if you continually stay here. I don't want to stay on this planet for 100 years. You know, I want to be with my family. And I think that if we can help them move on, help them move on. There's trillions of people in this world. Well, I mean, how many have died, you know, over the hundreds of years?
On that note...
I'm sorry. I get passionate about shit like that.
I just want to say that, you know, I think a lot of what Riley said I agree with, but then...
Surprise.
But yes, dear. And on the other hand, you know, I just want to expand a little on, you know, she said, you know, people do these things and they say that they've helped them move on. Well, who's to say that this ritual, whatever it may be, actually had this spirit move on? Who's to say? And
exactly.
How, you know, there's so many theories out there right now. How do we know that this spirit world isn't, you know, another dimension where some spirits choose to communicate and some don't, but that's where the spirits go? Who's to say that that's not the case? We don't have the answers. So, you know, I don't partake in any type of, you know, trying to move spirits on or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, because I don't have the answer, and who am I to say, you know, I've moved the spirit on or I've helped move the spirit on. What I would try to do is help someone understand what is there,
mm-hmm.
and try to capture evidence of what is there, whether it's negative, whether it's, you know, just something that's residual, or whether it's intelligent, and whether it's, you know, just something that's there that's not going to, you know, be demonic or, you know, cause problems for people or anything of that nature. So I don't know if that, you know, answers the question, but that's my thoughts on that. I mean, I don't believe in trying to move the spirits on myself.
No, I mean, I understand, and, you know, we all have different ideals about whether we should move spirits on or whatever, but, you know, you have to come back from are actually come from the scientific mind in the fact that we're still trying to prove the fact of an actual afterlife, regardless of our spirituality or not. And so it just, you know, you're right.
Well, I know. When I pass away, I'm going to haunt all of you guys. And I'm going to have fun with it. I'm going to have fun with it. I really am.
And on that note, we're going to break for a short station break.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
The views expressed here within the programs and chats do not necessarily represent the views of liveparanormal.com.
Welcome back to the Paranormal Chronicles. If you're listening on to us and you have any questions, comments, or whatsoever, and put it into our chat room, and you can give us a call here at 619-639-4606. And we're back with Black Cross Paranormal with Riley and Stephen Black.
Ooh, yay, yay!
Hello!
Wow.
Riley, now, I was reading your message to me earlier today, and it looks like you're going to be doing a radio show yourself.
Oh, yeah. I've got a big announcement. I'm going to be a big announcement. I see the look on Stephen's face right now.
Yeah, she wanted to do this, and I said, I don't want any part of it. And so far, we spent 20 hours behind the scenes working on this for her.
That's true. He has. He's been helping me put everything all together so I can make my big debut. I'm going to be hosting my own radio show starting June 1st, and it's going to be called Club Para, the Para Lounge, and it's going to be on Dead Air Radio. So, and it's going to be on Fridays from 8 to 10. You got to come and check it out. It is going to be one of the wildest radio shows, and if you all know me, then you know how wild I can get.
Going to be for mature audiences only.
Yeah, definitely for mature audiences only. There's going to be swearing. There's going to be cussing and fighting. There's going to be naked people running around
there
in that room.
I'm hearing biker gar going on right now. Get your chaps up.
So anyway, after the radio show is over, you get to, you know, come to Facebook and look up the Para Lounge Forum, and then we can continue on with the topic of conversation for that evening on in the Para Lounge. So drinks are on me.
Cool. And I have already been invited over to the Para Lounge, so I'm definitely in there for sure.
I'm making a music video. So wait and see.
Music video.
For the Para Lounge. So everybody can see how it's going to be. It's a virtual club, a virtual nightclub for, you know, the paranormal to come in, hang out. It's like a round table thing. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we got big names that are going to be making appearances in this Club Para.
Well, we actually used to have we called it the round table, and we used to get together with, you know, some of the bigger names in the community, and it would
exactly.
be in a different, location every month, and we would, you know, people would drive out from wherever. Some people would drive 2 hours to get to a location and spend the, you know, the evening at just a bar and have beer and wings or whatever drinks and just talk about, you know, what the latest theories are or what people are up to, any cool investigations or just, you know, meet and greets for people you haven't met, other teams and things like that. And we,
right.
we did that for a little while, and it was very difficult to get people to leave their houses. It seemed like a great idea. It was a great idea.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And brought it to our attention, and we kind of rolled the ball. And for a few months there, it was actually pretty good.
It was really cool, and you know, we met a lot of people, and a lot of people came out, and then it was like, you know, you get every excuse in the book after that.
It's I can't afford the gas. I've got something to do tomorrow. You know.
And I gotta go to school.
You know, than the other, so...
And it ended up being, you know, people would come from 2 hours away, and then the people down the street couldn't make it. So it was like,
that's
okay,
crazy.
You know, yeah, it was like, this isn't working, you know, some people aren't putting forth the effort, and others are. So they came up with this idea of making this Club Para along the same lines of having people, you know, come in and chat about what they're doing and just... you know, make it a round table where it's not just one person or one team. You might have multiple teams that come on, or you might have a couple
exactly.
of different people that, you know, are talking about different subjects and have people, you know, like you do, have people call in and ask questions or whatever. But we want it to be more, well, she wants it to be more. I feel so much a part of this from
you
doing all the work.
You are a part of it. You're married. Come on.
First rolls around, he's going to be on it.
Yeah,
he
right.
tells me no, but I'll have my way. I will have my way because it's a great idea. It really truly is.
Oh, it is.
Like I said, got a lot of big names coming on. We are book solid from June until the end of October by
That's
people.
True.
I mean, we posted the poster one day, and then in one day's time, we are book solid from June until the end of October with like three or four different teams coming on the same night. So, I mean, that's like 50, 60 different teams are like blowing up my IMs and emailing me. And, you know, I'm trying to get everybody in, but a lot of people don't want to share the show or they don't mind sharing the show.
Yeah.
Sometimes, well, eventually they're going to have to share the show, but
well,
there's just not enough room.
I think some people.
My first Mondays here with the Paranormal Chronicles now is a roundtable discussion. I mean, it allows anything and everything, and doesn't matter what's being said. It's the same thing. Topics come up, but
yeah.
I understand. Go ahead.
Sorry. I think some people don't understand the concept yet, but once they hear the show, maybe once or twice, they'll understand that it is, like you said, more of a roundtable where it has different topics, and you know, different people are going to be on at the same time, and you're going to talk about numerous. Instead of just, you know, one team coming on, what are you doing? So it should be interesting, and it's going to be like a virtual roundtable where, you know, people won't have the excuse, I can't make it. All they have to do is pick up the phone, and they can make it.
Well, they can click on a link, and they're right there, and they can listen to it. You know, if they don't want to come in the chat room, that's fine. Just click on and listen to the show. I mean, June 1st, we got some big names coming. We have, I'm serious. We have Jeff Mudgett. He is a relation to the famous murderer H.H. Holmes, America's Jack the Ripper. So he's going to be his presence known in the Para Club in the VIP room. Also going to be joining us will be David Roundtree. He's going to be coming in and doing his thing, which David is famous for. So we're going to let him fly with that and get that topic rolling. My co-host will be Will Scoville from the Voices of the Unknown. So he's going to be coming on as well and adding his little 2 cents there, Pia. And I call him Pia sometimes because he is. And I mean, we've got...
It's a pain in the backside.
Yeah, well... Will and I go
he's
back.
Funny.
He's
very
funny.
Sarcastic. He just, you know.
He is. He's a riot to listen to because he's an all-around great guy. He's very funny. And people like to listen to him. The ladies love him, so that'll bring in, you know, the crowd. So knock yourself out there, Pia.
they want to hear this too. It's payback time because he called me the Kardashian of the paranormal because my Jimmy Choo purse got stolen from the car. So, because I haven't listened to that part of his show, and his is on Saturday nights on Dead Air, so I got to listen to the end of his show to find out what he said about me because paybacks are a bitch, Wilbert. And, I mean, we got the Parahunter coming on. We've got Ken Nacosta's team with Rise Up Paranormal. They're going to be on talking about Eastern State Penitentiary. We've got a big show coming on the 22nd and 29th of June. On the 22nd, it's going to be Carl Johnson, James Anito, demonologist, both of them. And then Resident Undead is going to make their appearance in the VIP lounge at Club Para. And on the 29th, we have got Chris Carr from the EVPs. He's coming in. Yeah. So he's the founder of the Para Lounge.
Para Lounge Forum on Facebook.
Yeah. So he's going to be making his appearance and checking everything out and making everything is all right. Christian Day is going to be coming on. So that's going to be badass. Christian is the top Wiccan dude of Salem, Mass, and now down in New Orleans. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's down there doing his thing in New Orleans. We'll be catching up with him and seeing how he's doing.
And you're always going to have some of the people
popping
in.
Oh, yeah. You guys know that Lexi in our chat room over on Live Paranormal is saying hello to you guys.
Hey, girl. Hey, I'm all about the fun, man. That's how I roll. If you can't have fun doing what you love, then you shouldn't even be doing it anymore. Yeah?
Yeah. Now, I know we're getting close to the end of the show here, but I have a big question to bring up. In the last couple of weeks, we've heard of actual clients are almost like what they call paranormal stalkers that are actually stalking some of the teams themselves in order to end up stealing equipment, money, identification, and stuff like that. Have you ever had issues with that or ever heard of anybody having issues where people were either luring teams in fraudulently to do criminal activities against them? Or
no, I mean, we had one online fraudulent thing about 8 months ago. And then there was someone selling equipment, but they had no equipment and they were taking money.
Yeah, but we blew them out of the water like Hiroshima.
And then, but that's, I mean, as far as people luring people into locations, no.
Uh-huh.
But stalkers, there's definite stalkers out there. I mean, one time Riley had announced we were going to be somewhere at a location.
On Twitter.
We were just going to scope it out. I mean, it was daytime. We were going to scope out a location. It was actually
Mercy Brown
grave site.
The Rhode Island Vampire.
And she announced where we were going, and we were there about 5 minutes, and then next thing you know, 15, 20 people are coming in trying to blow us up.
No. Yeah, no, they were
blowing up our spot, you know. We couldn't do EVPs. We couldn't do, you know, anything.
I'm like, Steve, get me to the car quick because it was just overwhelming. I understand why Zach and those guys do what they do and act the way they act a lot of times because you get these crazed fans that come out of freaking nowhere. I mean, we're not as big as Zach or Nick or Aaron or, you know,
any of those people
because we don't do television. You know, we've been asked to, but we said no. We got a son to raise, you know, and that's more important than being on TV right now. So, you know, because we're just like well known through the internet because we got it like that.
Yeah. Because of your modeling thing. No.
I don't know about Mr. Jack Daniels.
Oh yeah.
Y'all have seen his Jack Daniels picture, right?
No.
Yeah, he's wearing nothing but a bottle of JD. It's badass.
Okay, is this on your Facebook?
It was. Facebook actually shut that picture down. Somebody reported it.
People just are not right. I've heard you out there on Facebook. comment about other people reporting your pictures, but you know what? There's a difference between trash and class. And
that's right.
The pictures are very professionally done. They're beautiful on the both of you. And I don't understand that. There's nothing there that, as far as I'm concerned, pornography or anything like that. And I guess people have different ideals about what is art and what isn't.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't have a nipple showing. There's nothing going on. You know what I mean? Everything is like, I'm clothed for the most part. I mean,
well,
when
we
I'm not,
that out.
You can't really see.
We put fog there so nobody can see it.
You know, so now that I'm hosting my own show, I have to actually put my pictures back in the archives and hide them away because I'm getting a lot of requests, friend requests. So I'm trying not to put it even more out there than I already am, which sucks, but that's what you got to do when you become a host.
Well, I think people forget that, you know, yeah, we're in the paranormal community, but we're people too. We have other things that we do. You know, I mean, I've done a lot of fitness modeling in the past. We both model together sometimes now. We, you know, last weekend we had the family photo shoot to do different things. And we still, you know, we want to share that side of our lives on Facebook with our friends, people that have friended us.
Exactly.
But there are, yeah, but there's people in the community that I guess they don't understand that that's something we do, and they record it or whatever. I don't know. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. Hey, wouldn't that be like a terrible thing if the guy who broke into our car was actually a paranormal stalker? Oh, we never thought of that.
That's
you
true.
Never, yeah. Yeah, I won't bring up the story of where I've heard it from because we don't have enough time, but I just want teams to be aware that, you know, there are paranormal stalkers out there that are actually stalking teams, and it's not necessarily a good thing that they're bringing you into these locations or, oh, hey, they got a special location that's not been, you know, raked over the coals so much, and they're getting you out there, and while you're investigating, they're going through your belongings, you know, they're
right.
taking your identity, everything. And this is probably, I think, the second time that I've heard this, so everybody needs to be careful out there.
Lock things up.
Trying to call in.
Yeah, I think somebody's trying to call in.
I know two area code, calling in, the practitioner.
Okay, here we go.
Hey,
hello.
Welcome.
This is Guthrie calling from Canada. Thought I'd pop in and say hi.
Hi.
Hello.
How's it
yeah,
going
anyway,
up there?
The, well, it's doing pretty well, actually. I'm doing a little bit of my own paranormal research. Mine is actually primarily focusing on wormhole research and parallel universes.
Very cool.
Yeah,
oh,
matter
wow.
of fact, the link. Yeah, matter of fact, the link I just posted in the room there is, in fact, a new link from National Geographic. Is talking about a study that was published in the Astrophysical Journal Letters. And basically what it's talking about is apparently how dark flow is demonstrating that there might actually be parallel universes you know, like just outside our universe, tugging on ours, and that the phenomena meaning one of those universes, might be as close as 2.5 billion light years away from our planet.
Wow.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Now, the reason why I bring this up as a possibility is that there have been reports or there have been theories amongst some of the paranormal, some other paranormal experts I've talked to that the reptilian thing and even ghostly phenomena might actually be other parallel universes overlapping with our own. And so one of the things I'm looking into is the possibility of using random number generators and other things which might detect gravity as opposed to just EMF detectors to see whether or not there might be a you know an overlap of another plane of existence with our own.
Interesting, and that's the thing that, you know, that's why earlier we were talking about people trying to help these spirits, you know, pass over or go to where they're supposed to be, and we don't have the answers whether it's a parallel universe, whether it's another dimension, whether these people are there and they can and want to communicate with us. Maybe some of them are just messing with us. We don't know. We don't have any of those answers.
Yes.
So it's all, there's a lot of unknown, and there's a lot of really cool theories out there. And
but you need to follow us on Facebook, because we got some people that will be interested in what you have to say about that subject. We really do. We've got some friends who can talk circles with you with this thing. So definitely keep us in touch on Facebook and come hang out with us at the Para Lounge.
Para Lounge? Okay, I'll definitely look it up on Facebook, and I'll try to see if I can join the group.
Awesome.
Oh, definitely.
All right. Okay, thank you. We're getting down to the last few minutes here, and I got to let the next host on. Riley, Stephen, thank you so much for being on the Paranormal Chronicles tonight.
Thank you for having us. We enjoy every minute.
Yeah, we always do.
I love having you guys on, and good luck, and I'll be there to support you with Club Para, because I can't wait to see what you're going to bring to the table for us.
Oh, yeah, it's gonna be, you know, so much fun. You got to come in and check it out for sure.
I'm going to go hide when it's on.
No, you're not. I'm going to be kicking and screaming.
Sounds wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you, Kim, for being on, and everybody, thank you for listening on to the Paranormal Chronicles here at Live Paranormal, and joining us in chat on both Blog Talk and Live Paranormal. Thank you, everyone, and have a good night.
Thanks for having us.
Good night.